College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about a lot of things going on in his world and with baseball. Mike Bordick. Bordy, how you feeling?
Hey, Bob. What's going on, man?
A little of this, a little of that, Mike Bordick. Before we get to the podcast, certainly, with Jerry Coleman, which I, if you don't win 17 Marconi Awards, there's something wrong in your world there. Mike Bordick, talk about, you know, the start of pitchers and catchers trades. And we saw the big NBA blockbuster with Davis and, of course, Luka Doncic. And you've been traded before at the trade deadline. That was with the Orioles, and you kind of knew that all was going down. But neither of these players got were aware of the seams. It reminds me of Canseco, Ruben Sierra, when you were in Oakland. So if you had a comparable to what happened in the NBA with status of players, two first-team All-NBA guys going to midseason, is there one baseball-wise you can think of?
Oh, my gosh. Wow, Bob. Wow, tough question right off the get-go.
Because Sierra and Canseco was in season, right?
That was as shocking as anything, to be honest with you, because, you know, Jose was the face, really, of the A's. They had some great superstars, but he was the guy. He'd just done 40-40. They've already won or gone to three World Series in a row, right? So he's been MVP. And he is really kind of the face of baseball, I think. Back then, he was the guy that was hitting the screaming home runs on ESPN, right, when they were talking baseball. So, yeah, Jose was big, of course, Ruben Sierra. But the fact of the matter is, the whole baseball industry shut down when they heard Canseco wasn't playing. Is there a trade in the works? And then to hear the haul that Sandy Alderson and the A's got back, right? We got Bobby Witt. We got Ruben Sierra. We got Jeff Russell. I mean, holy cow, starter, bullpen piece, and a five-tool player. So, yeah, it was shocking, and we ended up going to the postseason, so it all worked out.
All right, let's get to the Orioles, who've been to the postseason 2 years in a row, first time that happened in, 50 years? They have been 3 years in a row since, 69, 70, 71, coming off a three-year run, Mike, where they had three straight winning seasons. That hadn't happened since the early 90s. Burns is gone, we know that. Others have moved on, Santander, McCann, among others. As you look at the team on paper today, and we're talking February 3rd, what kind of ball club are we looking at here? I still think it's a playoff team for sure, but to what level? And that's what the fans obviously want to know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think it's a nice team. I really do. And I agree with you. I think it's a playoff team. But I think there are a ton of factors, obviously, that are going to come to play, because I think there are teams that are poised to be in good spots in the American League East if they can stay healthy. Because, you know, Tampa, as bad as they were last year, and it seemed like their organization was falling apart, all of a sudden they're healthy and their rotation is ridiculous. And they could make one or two moves offensively to all of a sudden be another winning team in the East. So it's going to be a challenge. I think all the moves the Orioles have done, early on I was a little bit critical, like, let's go. When are we going to really get after this thing? But I think what they did is they filled their roster. So they are, I think, doing a smart thing right now, which is trying to create more depth. So many teams got crushed with injuries, Orioles being one of the top ones. And it showed up immediately, the actual lack of depth and the depth needed to compete in the postseason. The Los Angeles Dodgers have two full all-star teams with pitchers and bullpen guys on and on and on. So they're definitely going to be the team to beat. But the Orioles trying to find a way to create depth in their organization, I think, is really, really smart. Really smart.
Now, Jackson Holliday at second base. A year ago this time, Mike, he was the number one prospect in baseball, started the year down at Norfolk, was playing like the number one player in baseball. Hell, that Norfolk team through April was like a slow pitch softball team, the numbers they were putting up. As you watch him heading into this season as the projected second baseman, we'll talk about him defensively. What needs to happen for him to become better than average, maybe even really good, manning that bag at second? Because we know Gunner's going to be the shortstop for the foreseeable future here.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, Bob, you and I have talked about this a lot. It's just the managing of his internal clock, understanding that the major league game is so much different than any other game. And you have to have a sense of urgency from jump street, first pitch on, every pitch, the importance of urgency. And he didn't have that last year, and it was really noticeable. And it's just, it's a click off, and I think it's players that have to internalize that and understand it. And I think we talked about it last year, so that means I think internally in their player development, they realize that too. So that is probably the most important thing he needs to work on. And if he can handle that just a little bit better, I think that's going to help him calm down offensively. And I think we're going to see some pretty good things from him.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan on this Monday. Now, Gunnar Henderson defensively, Mike. And he had a lot of errors in the old stat column yesterday. We know the offense is going to play, and he's going to hit 40-some home runs before it's all said and done, maybe as soon as this year. But when you watch him defensively, we know this ceiling is really high. How does he get to Gold Glove level defense?
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing. I think he's such an incredible athlete. I don't think he realizes how good he is yet, where he can control, you know, his body and space just a little bit more. He does not have to go flying through the ball every time, borderline out of control. You know, I think he can just be a better athlete out there on the field. Not that he's not great, but now it's about body control, a little bit of spatial awareness, back to that internal clock again, and just how you work yourself in space, because he's got a plus arm. He's he's really a five-tool athlete, and now it's just harnessing it and becoming, you know, maybe a little bit more focused, just a little deeper into his, you know, preparation, understand what he can do with his feet, the depth he can cover in front of him and behind. So there's a lot of room, I think, for improvement. And even with the amount of errors he had last year, though, dude, I'd take that anytime. He's so much fun to watch. And just trying to watch him progress, I think it's going to be a blast, because he's incredible.
Hey, Bordy, like pitchers and catchers come in 9 days, and then the vets come after that. Now, in the NFL, like Jerry Rice used to always come with the rookies, and to me that's kind of like pitchers and catchers. Were you the type of guy that likes to go in early? And nowadays, do most players go in with the pitchers and catchers? And some are probably already in Sarasota now.
Yeah. I always like to go early. And I think a lot of players do. Especially guys that are from the north, right? It takes a little while to kind of acclimatize yourself, getting your spikes into the dirt. Your body moves differently. There's just a different type of adrenaline. And I always like to try to get that going early, get the aches and pains out of the way, and actually try to dive into the grind as fast as I could. Start setting my routines, understanding, you know, that importance of focus. Obviously, early on, it's just way more relaxed. So, you know, you could chill in the afternoon. It's just not that same kind of intensity. And then as spring training rolls on, you just keep building and building and building and trying to make yourself a little bit better. But nowadays, I feel like most players are probably already down there. Why not? The food in and of itself is enough to get me into that clubhouse. Pretty amazing how they eat, take care of themselves nowadays. And I think this young team really cares about that. And I think they're down there early, probably.
Hey, Bordy, how will the new coaches, like, indoctrinate themselves to the guys? Like, have phone calls in the winter time, start to make some contacts then, and you know what will the hitting coaches, what will they try to do to gain the confidence of the players?
Yeah, that's the most important thing, trying to gain confidence. But there's a fine line there too, as you know, Vinny, in sport. I mean, your credibility can get thrown out if all of a sudden you're too pushy. If all of a sudden you don't understand truly what it takes to play 162 games and go through failures and trying to pull yourself out, there's a lot obviously involved to be a really good major league coach. So first and foremost is to try to develop a relationship. And I'm sure all these coaches have been in touch with, you know, their players throughout the winter, not being too pushy, just to kind of introduce themselves. And throughout spring training, this relationship builds with – good communication, staying positive, going through work sessions, but not forcing maybe what you believe on hitters, big league hitters especially, because you better be able to adapt and adjust. And that is the name of the game, period. So there's not one finite way to hit in the big leagues. It's really all between your ears, and how these coaches kind of manage that, I think, is probably the most important thing.
Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick joining us here, video at Hitting 105.7 The Fed. All right, Bordy, last thing for you. You and Jerry Coleman. And Jerry Coleman, personally friend of mine, and I'm cool with Jerry Coleman, always have been. But tell everyone why you and Jerry are going to get together, and it's going to be like, Lennon, McCartney, Richardson, Jagger, Plant Page, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, Abbott and Costello.
Right. Yeah, Fred right. Nethel, maybe.
Yeah. Listen, I've known Jerry for years, man, but I obviously a young player back in the early 90s, and I always respected him, and I honestly respected all people in media, but he set himself apart, and you know how hard it is to stay in this business and be a part of, legitimate kind of media and covering teams and things like that. And he's done it for a long time. So I think there's a lot of credibility there. Listen, he sees both sides of things. Sometimes he can be a little bit hard, but, I think most times he can back it up. And I am really excited to kind of take on this challenge with him. Talk Oriole baseball, talk current affairs in baseball, have some great guests on. We've been throwing things around for a while now. And just to think about, some of the players that I got to play with coming up, I think fans would love to hear that. I mean, Dennis Eckersley, the stories that those guys had, Goose Gossage, some of the great legends in the game, and, of course, the current players as well. So, Bob and Vinny, I love talking baseball, so I'm going to have fun doing it, and I hope a lot of people tune in.